Now, the new 940 Montreal presents The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman.
Evening, Montreal, and everybody listening on the World Wide Web. I hope many of you had the chance to listen to Jim Duff earlier. Duff and I went at it for about 15, 20 minutes. Montreal's lucky to have him back. The new 940 is lucky to have him on. And listen in more stay with the show through 6:45, where I'll be joining him every day. And what you heard us talk about, we're going to be looking at in depth in this hour, and that is the tendency of the West, in its feckless way, in much of the West, to snap defeat from the jaws of victory through a corruption and perversion of words and language, through a corruption of polls and the way questions are skewed. The issue on the table is obviously the ceasefire. It's obviously a good thing that people stop dying. But the fact that a butcher like Nasrallah talks about victory is an obscenity to language. Obviously, it is not. In 36 hours after the Israeli infantry was let loose, they were within 1 mile of the Litani River. They control South Lebanon, and the most amazing thing is the Lebanese are returning to their homes. They trust the Israeli army. They don't flee from it. There are no missiles today, because if Hezbollah wasn't afraid of this staged withdrawal by Israel, they know what Israel would do to them being a mile from the Litani River. That's what Israel can do in a day and a half. The importance for Israel was finally dragging the diplomatic community into this fray and putting a bridle on Hezbollah and forcing the Lebanese to deal with it. Lebanon for the Lebanese, yes. But if the Lebanese government has abdicated its authority and decided to become a quasi-proxy hostage of Iranian gangs, then a free nation like Israel will defend itself. And no amount of playing with language and no amount of playing with polls will change the reality that most of us understand that viscerally. Most of us stand with courage, most of us stand with the free, and most of us will not be told by anybody who seeks to impose theocratic or political tyranny what we're going to do with our lives. We sacrifice too much for that. And we'll be examining these issues with esteemed Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution in California on the vocabulary of untruth. Isn't that a wonderful title? And very few people can write like Professor Hanson writes. We'll be talking to Conrad Wynn, president of Compass Polling, on how the Globe and Mail poll of several weeks ago on Canadian attitudes really skewed the numbers by twisting the questions. And we'll also be talking with Israeli Consul General in Montreal, Mark Attali, on what has been gained through this process. And we'll be right back with all of you after this.
You're listening to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, on the new 940 Montreal. This is the new 940 Montreal. Let's talk. Call The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, at 790-0006.
Oh, at iapm.ca. We're privileged to have with us again Victor Davis Hanson. If you people really want to get educated, go to National Review online. Go to one of the number of sites that Victor Davis Hanson writes for. He's with the Hoover Institution. Go to their website. Professor Hanson, it's very happy to have you back on. How are you?
Fine. Thank you for having me.
I made reference earlier to a piece you wrote called The Vocabulary of Untruth, because we're talking today about how the media, how perception tends to snap defeat from the jaws of victory. And in that piece, you wrote a variety of definitions that are applicable and acceptable for non-democracies, but, of course, never work for democracies. And you said a ceasefire would occur should Hezbollah give back, kidnap Israelis and stop launching missiles. It would never follow a unilateral cessation of Israeli bombing. In fact, we will hear international calls for one, that is, a ceasefire, only when Hezbollah's rockets are but exhausted. How do you feel about this situation right now? As Hezbollah, we've had a day of quiet. Nasrallah sitting in the Iranian embassy. Lebanese civilians are coming back to South Lebanon with the Israeli army in place. It's a staged withdrawal, if there will be one at all. Has the capacity of Hezbollah been effective, number one? And number two, is this ceasefire real? Real in terms of the word ceasefire, that for here is a democracy that in 36 hours has sent its infantry and almost hit the Latani River, paralyzing what Hezbollah's capabilities are.
Well, I have a little bit different take on most of the pessimists. I think that in the last 3 to 5 days, Israel did a lot more damage to Hezbollah than Hezbollah led on, and that's why they were willing to agree to the ceasefire. I think we won't know the true story on the ground for weeks until people start to come back. They start to see the damaged homes of the Hezbollah people. They start to blame sort of the mayhem and carnage in South Lebanon and see it contrasted with pretty much the rest of Lebanon's left alone, despite the media bias to the contrary.
You know, despite the media bias, today we heard reports coming out that, yes, South Lebanon has suffered a lot, but most of the rest of Lebanon is pretty much intact.
And I think that works toward Israel's favor. And the second thing is that Israel and the United States are going to have this pseudo-UN, whatever we want to call it, force here that won't disarm Hezbollah. Because if they disarm Hezbollah, Hezbollah is absolutely lost. They started the war with a militia that was well-supplied and controlled a third of the country. If after 30 days they end up with our homes destroyed, for all the braggadocio about how they won and they're disarmed, they've lost, and the Lebanese government will take over. That's not going to happen because it's not going to happen because that requires the UN and Lebanese armies to shoot people in Hezbollah, and they won't dare shoot them.
And the Lebanese army isn't in too much of a hurry to go down there and confront Hezbollah to begin with. But people will start thinking about who started this carnage on us in the first place.
Yes, I think this leads to the third point that I'm making, and that is that when this is all cleared and people saw what Hezbollah brought on itself, and yet it is disobeying this multilateral option, then the multilateral UN utopian option is exhausted. It's absolutely exhausted. And that means that Hezbollah will hide behind these peacekeepers. It'll rearm and it'll start it in again, maybe not in 6 weeks, maybe 6 months. And then that will leave an opening for the Israelis. Because I think the next time Israel will say to the world, we are not going to bomb these people from the air. We're not going to go in and fight house to house. You had your chance to broker a ceasefire. You didn't live up to the first resolution about disarming him. So the next time that they send a missile into Israel, we're going to take out, this is what the Israelis, I think, should do. They should have taken out the power grid in Damascus, and then they should have waited 4 days. And they said, if you send any more rockets, we're taking out your dams. Next, we're going to take out your Air Force bases. And that's a conventional response to you, a conventional state, that you're going to really regret in the future. And nobody's going to be able to stop us from doing that. We're not going to get near you.
And indeed, it was in many ways a conventional war because Israel accepted 1,000 Qassam rocket attacks after the withdrawal from Gaza. The city of Sderot is completely wiped out. But democracies, as I said earlier, free nations generally don't hold up body parts to the cameras. They suck it up, they go ahead, and they go further. And Israel, what is this criticism of the media that Israel somehow has less casualties because the Israelis take care of their civilians by building bunkers while the Lebanese government can't maintain any kind of help for their own people?
Well, it's a form of logic that leads to disaster because it would mean that World War II, we lost World War II because we killed more Germans and Japanese than we lost America. In some cases, 10 times more.
Professor Hansen, would you bear with us while I take a caller, Jasmine from Bay Durfee?
Yeah.
Jasmine? Sorry, you have Hassan from Ville Saint Laurent.
Yes, hi.
How are you?
Good, you?
Good.
I just want to verify something that the Israeli army, they already withdrew from South Lebanon. They went back to the blue line.
Hassan, they did not go back to the blue line.
Yes,
the Israeli army is holding positions two miles from the Litani River. And the ceasefire resolution calls for a staged withdrawal at Israel's decision as long as the missiles don't fly. So go and read the resolution and come back.
Now Israel decided to withdraw.
Hassan, go and read the resolution. Hassan, go and read the resolution, and you can call back. Professor Hansen, that's the kind of thinking that in the modern left-wing press is, you know, does the left-wing press not even read what's been decided on? They just sort of make up stories on their own. They don't even look at the resolutions. They don't look at facts on the ground.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. I know that we had an earlier resolution that said that the world community would want Hezbollah disarmed. They didn't disarm. they didn't disarm. We had photographic evidence that was doctored. We had never had statistics reported from Lebanon about how many Hezbollah were killed. Every time somebody was killed, he was dubbed a civilian. Every time an Israeli was killed, they were differentiated between soldier and civilian. So there was an imbalance in the whole reporting, and it's sort of...
And it reached a crescendo when Nick Robertson admitted that he had to that he faked stories because he was afraid of Hezbollah.
Well, I mean, think about it. You say that you're a reporter.
Oh, absolutely.
Hezbollah, and you say that you saw somebody bring a dead girl out 17 times a day for photographs. You're going to get an RPG in your hotel room.
Absolutely, especially with Hezbollah holding copies of my passport.
Exactly. You go into Israel and you say that you saw an Israeli shoot deliberately at a civilian. What's going to happen? An IDF spokesman is going to come over in your hotel that night. He's going to sit down over coffee. He's going to try to show you documents and plead to you to report fairly. And that's the difference.
Professor Hansen, hang on with us. We're just going to pay some bills. We'll be right back with you.
You're listening to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, on the new 940 Montreal. You're listening to the new 940 Montreal. Now, back to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman. Call Beryl at 790-0006.
Or email us at info@iapm.ca. We're privileged to have Victor Davis Hansen, Senior Fellow at the Hoover Institution, author of countless books, the latest being A War Like No Other. Victor Davis Hansen has written, yes, perhaps Israel should have hit more quickly and harder and on the ground. Yes, it is running an FPR campaign. Yes to these criticisms, but what is lost sight of is the central moral issue of our times. A humane democracy mired in an asymmetrical war is trying to protect itself against terrorists in the 7th century, while under the scrutiny of a corrupt world that needs oil, is largely anti-Semitic, and deathly afraid of Islamic terrorists, and finds psychic enjoyment in seeing successful Western societies under duress. With that kind of outlook, where do we go from here? Where do you see it going from here, Victor Davis Hansen?
Well, I think that we're going to have to devolve into a greater sense of threat on the part of Western societies. If I were to sum up the attitude in the United States, is simply we can have iPods, we can have our latte, we can have our 401k, we can still pay $3.50 a gallon for gas. However, this war is still optional. There's no connection between Belsen and Russia, between India, between Pakistan's bombings, between murdering in London, murdering in Madrid, murdering in Manhattan. These are all disconnected things. We're so strong and powerful, we can have people like Cindy Sheehan call the president a terrorist. We can have people in Michigan protest and chant Nasrallah every day. And it's okay. We just don't want to imperil the good life. And our military is so good that they can keep a lid on it. And that may be true, but if we have another 9/11, and what we just saw in London was that what was not reported by the media was a multi-billion-dollar hit on the airport, on the airline industry, in personal inconvenience and things that have to be thrown away and changed travel plans. Western society insidiously can fail if it can't trust its financial system, its communication system, as we saw the World Trade Center, a $1 trillion hit probably to the economy. If they keep pushing this, they hit Wall Street someday, they can undermine confidence in the West. Nobody reported that in a sophisticated modern society like Israel can ill afford to have 1 million people for days at a time in shelters with the destruction that that does to the faith in your financial system and to daily commerce, the disruption and lost way of life. That's what these people are really saying to us. Life in the 7th century is not all that good for us, but we have the ability, without killing all of you, to bring you back to the 15th century if we want to. And life is so good for the rest of you people, you will never get galvanized until it's too late. And so this is their attitude, and this is their strategy, and this is what they seem to be doing. And poor George Bush in the United States is trying to say to people, look,
wake up.
We don't want to have another 9/11. We have to support Israel. We have to finish the job in Iraq. We have to be tougher on this Islamic fascism that's promulgated in the West. And most people don't see that there's a threat yet. They better pay bribe money to the Islamists through petrol money or whatever it is.
Victor Davis Hansen, we thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Montreal will be right back.
You're listening to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, on the new 940 Montreal. This is the new 940 Montreal. Let's talk. Call The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, at 790-0006.
Or email us at info at IAPM.ca. That's Ireland, Alfred, Paul, Michael, IAPM.ca. And we're talking today about the perceptions of victory and defeat. In the long run, the just will win. And as John Ibbotson wrote in the Globe and Mail past week, the war against militant Islam is, after all, a chronic war in the same sense that the Cold War was a chronic war, and Northern Ireland was a chronic war, and South Africa was a chronic war. Each was a long-running dispute between competing ideologies that could not be resolved through conventional warfare or civil war. Yet, liberty won. Yet, the murderers were defeated, as they will be here. And that's the point Victor Davis Hanson was making, that despite Americans or Westerners like for luxury and thinking that they'll, some they will take care of it, eventually we will take care of it. And eventually the just do win. And if there's any line in history that gives us any hope for the future, it's that line of progress. Joining us now is Israeli Consul General in Montreal, Mark Attali, to tell us what we should know about what's been going on with the ceasefire and since the ceasefire. Consul General Attali, welcome.
Hey, good evening, Bill.
What's the most important thing for people to realize about this, what's happening on the ground?
I think, first of all, it's important to understand that at the end of the day, what we've seen here, it's a democratic country fighting against terrorism. And this is what we have to bear in mind. Now, as far as the ceasefire is concerned, for the time being, it's calm, apart of a few incidents during the day, but as a whole, it's calm, and it seems that all the sides are respecting the ceasefire. And we also see that slowly, the Lebanese population is starting to get back to its villages, while the Israeli citizens...
In the south, in South Lebanon.
In the South Lebanon, of course. And the Israeli population from the north is slowly going back to their homes and that they left because of the war.
So two things we've seen in the past 72 hours. We've seen an Israeli infantry that cut through Hezbollah positions like a hot knife through butter and are 1 mile from the Litani River. And we see a South Lebanese population that's, despite Nasrallah and Hezbollah's propaganda, somehow is not afraid of the Israeli army, which is still in place in this staged withdrawal.
Well, I guess if that's the case, I assume that they simply trust the Israeli army, and the fear of Hezbollah probably is gone among these people. However, going back to the situation and the UN resolution 1701, I think it is important to stress that basically this resolution clearly puts the blame of the current crisis on Hezbollah. The second, it calls...
And this is important because this is one of the first few times where the United Nations actually put the blame on somebody other than Israel.
Look, in this case, Hezbollah is mentioned by his name. I mean, it's not just, a vague definition of a terrorist organization or just an entity. We are talking about the fact that Hezbollah is mentioned as the one who is responsible and the one to be blamed for the current crisis. The second, when you read carefully the resolution talks calls for an unconditional release of the Israeli hostages. And what is also very important, it calls for the implementation of the previous UN Security Council resolution,
1559.
The famous 1559. Now, the thing is that this time...
Let's just explain to our listeners, that called for the past 4 years, the Lebanese government to disarm Hezbollah, and they wouldn't even send their army to the south.
To disarm Hezbollah and to deploy the Lebanese army in southern Lebanon, and basically to implement all what concerns the sovereignty of Lebanon on all of the Lebanese territory. Now, another thing which is important about this resolution that Israel welcomed with satisfaction, that it's a good starting point in order to change the rule of the games in this area. First of all, Hezbollah was, I would say, kicked out of southern Lebanon. And it was badly hit by the Israeli military in the last four weeks of war. And a lot of his arsenal was basically hit very severely by the Israeli Air Force and the infantry. The second thing, that no longer we can accept the situation that Hezbollah is sitting on the international border, facing the Israeli population and basically taking as a hostage a whole population, but not only the Israelis, also the Lebanese population. So I believe that what we've seen now, it's a meeting point between the military process on one hand and the diplomatic process, and we are now at this meeting point that is being reflected by the UN Security Council that was adopted 2 days ago.
Mark Attali, many thanks. I know you've been through a hard day. Thanks for your perspective.
Thank you very much. Good day.
We'll be talking to you again in Montreal. We'll be right back with George from Dollar Desormo and Conrad Wynn on how opinion polls get skewed. That's skewed, not screwed.
You're listening to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, on the new 940 Montreal. You're listening to the new 940 Montreal. Now, back to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman. Call Beryl at 790-0006.
And email us at info@iapm.ca. And we've been talking today about how certain media, certain commentators, tend to pull defeat out of the jaws of victory and take particular pleasure in their wallowing in their cosmic sense of justice only when it concerns democracies and never whacking the tyrannies that threaten us all. George and DDO, how are you tonight?
Terrific. I just want to say I find that your show is fantastic, and
thank
I really
you.
Enjoy listening to you. My comment is quite simple. I think that the Israelis accomplished to a certain degree what they set out to do. That was to move Hezbollah out of there. And I think probably in about a year from now, southern Lebanon, when the Shiites do come back and start living again, they'll see what Nasrallah did, and they're not going to be too happy. And I think time will show that Israel did accomplish quite a bit.
I'm not even sure it's going to take that long.
It may not, but I'll give it a bit of time until things start to work out. But I do think that Israel did achieve to a certain degree what they wanted.
I think they achieved a great deal. Unfortunately, of course, there was a great reliance at the beginning on air power, but it's amazing what the ground forces did in the past 3 to 4 days, when in a matter of 72 hours, they went to 2 miles in front of the Litani River and basically cut off Hezbollah from any sources of anything.
Well, I think to a certain degree there were errors made by the Israelis, but then again, when you're dealing with a different type of war where you have Hezbollah hiding in homes and their ammunition, it's not the same as if they were in a war with Egypt or any of the other countries and you can just go at it freely. I mean, they were pinpointing, they were being very careful of what they did. To a certain degree, they also made their mistakes, and that will happen in a time of war. But I think that time will show how they decimated Hezbollah.
Were you disappointed at the beginning of the war?
I'm not a general, so I don't know what they had in mind. I thought they would go in a much harsher manner, but I guess, for every soldier that's killed, it's a big thing in Israel as opposed to the Arab nations where life is not taken to the same degree. So I think they were looking how to minimize their losses, and they did. Unfortunately, perhaps they should have gone in with 30,000. But the other thing that I find so strange is you watch CNN or any of the stations, and they're giving you all the information of what's doing. All the tanks are being set up at this particular point. There's no secrets. Everything's wide open. And this what I found very difficult, why Israel would allow them to say a lot of things that were said on TV. And you can basically watch the war unfolding.
And how aggravating was it to hear you know, Israel almost being blamed for the fact that it provided for its citizens, provided bomb shelters, it provided evacuation for a million citizens, the entire north of Israel, and somehow they were blamed for doing a good job for their citizens. Well, there was minimum blame of the Lebanese government for not only not disarming Hezbollah, but not even taking care of their own.
But that's par for the course, and I'm used to that type of thing. I remember one night I was thinking and saying to myself, and I live in DBO, can you imagine if I'm sitting at home and there's rockets coming through from the carry to DBO? I mean, 100 or 140 while I'm sitting out on my lawn chair? I mean, I don't think people really fathomed what Israel has gone through over the last couple of years with all these rockets coming over. I'm not saying there were 140.
And not just from southern Lebanon, but 1,000 Qassam rocket attacks from Gaza after they pulled out that completely destroyed the city of the town of Sderot. But, you know, Israel doesn't put out body parts in front of the cameras.
Yes, and I just kept saying to myself, my God, you know, if this was any other country, I mean, if it was France and they were having that particular situation, boy, you would have seen those tanks roll out and there would have been enough problems. So that's basically what I have to say.
George, thanks very much. Have a good night. We'll be right back after we pay these bills.
You're listening to The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, on the new 940 Montreal. This is the new 940 Montreal. Let's talk. Call The Last Angry Man, Beryl Wiseman, at 790-0006.
Montreal, we've been talking tonight about how the press and some people who call themselves progressive politicians tend to pull defeat from the jaws of victory. They use words. They connive words. They connive polls. We're supposed to be joined by Conrad Wynn, the president of Compass Polling, on a fascinating story. Many of you might have known that about 10 days ago, the Globe and Mail, big 8-point, 10-point type across the front page, said, new poll suggests 45% of Canadians are against the Prime Minister's position on the Middle East, which, of course, is pro-Israeli and blames Hezbollah squarely. The next line underneath was 77% want Canada to be neutral. Now, there was something wrong with that, because if 45% oppose, that means 55% either support or are neutral. How did it become 77%? And Conrad Wynn, president, and his company Compass Polling just produced a report today, and we'll be examining it tomorrow with him in depth, that the questions were so skewed that it could only produce the result that was predetermined to be produced, not by the polling company, but the suggestion is made by the people that wanted the poll done, and that's the fake impressions that are out there in the media about the Canadian public, and as you heard Victor Davis Hanson earlier, the Hoover Institution, about the West generally, that somehow it's become weak, it's become feckless. And I don't believe that. I don't think you people out there are weak and feckless. I believe that you people out there understand courage, consider it the cardinal human virtue, understand doublespeak, and have had enough of it. And you wouldn't take this kind of guff that Hezbollah and Hamas and all the other thugs are handing out. You wouldn't take it here, right here in Montreal, from your own political or clerical leaders. Why should any democracy have to? Victor Davis Hanson wrote in an article called The Vocabulary of Untruth that words take on new meanings only for democracies. And as an example, he used the Middle East. So, on the question of proportionality that you've heard a lot about, he writes, disproportionate means that the Hezbollah aggressors, whose rockets can't kill very many Israeli civilians because they don't have a guidance system, are losing, whereas the Israeli response, simply because it's strategic bombing, is somehow disproportionate. It's sad. Hezbollah is called militants instead of thugs. multinational, as in multinational force, usually means third world mercenaries who sympathize with Hezbollah. Peacekeepers, who usually keep no peace but always side with the less Western of the belligerents. It's amazing how the word shocked, he writes, is used only by diplomats who really aren't, and only evoked against the response of Israel or any democracy against an attack of terrorists. And United Nations action refers to actions that Russia or China would not veto, since the organization's operatives usually watch terrorism armed before their eyes. They're almost always guilty of what they accuse others of. What does distortion of language mean? A lot. Words count. And they count like bullets. And we're going to be sending them right back at these hypocrites. And this war will be won not only on the ground. Montreal will be back with you tomorrow night. We'll be on with Jim Duff at about 6:45 leading into the show at 7. Jess Connell, thanks very much. Couldn't have done it without you. Keep fighting.